This is the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz. Coming up momentarily, we think, somewhere around there, is the Nick Sirianni press conference. The coach press conference is sponsored by PDQ Signature Systems. If you're in the restaurant, hospitality, or casino business, you need a PDQ POS system. With PDQ POS, you'll sell more, earn more, and work less. If you want the best, trust PDQ POS. Visit PDQPOS.com. Until we get to Nick Sirianni, 215-592-9494. Lou in Denver, you're on WIP.
I feel much better, guys. I feel
much
a lot better.
Why is that?
I've never wanted to win a September game so badly after those cheap shots. I mean, my stomach dropped when I saw that hit in real time on Devontae Smith. Thank God he seems like he'll be okay. And then the Chiefs shot on Slay. I mean, I just wanted to win that so bad. I'm sure the players did. It galvanized them for sure. So I feel a lot better. Even though the two leaders, Sirianni and Hurts, made bad decisions yesterday, I feel like those can be fixable compared to, oh, the defense is just trash and we don't have enough talent. So I feel better.
Yeah, as far as the cheap shots, and I hope Devontae Smith is fine, concussions are weird. You know, you could get it on one day and then feel all of a sudden worse 2 days later. And it's not just, you know, we have two concussions. The Lane one wasn't because of a dirty hit. The Devontae one was. My fingers are crossed that Devontae's okay. Ike, did the hit on Devontae Smith, that look dirty to you or no?
Yeah, I mean, listen, the whistle hadn't blown. What the hell are the officials doing?
Yeah, he's giving himself up. His
forward progress stopped. Forward progress was clearly stopped. So, I mean, I can't necessarily blame the defender. You play to the whistle.
Right.
If he had to hit him after the whistle had blown, then that's dirty.
Yes.
I blame the refs for not blowing the damn whistle.
It was strange, especially you're not talking about Saquon Barkley, who's got his legs going forward. You're talking about Devontae Smith, who we've already established is 125 pounds, going backwards. Two guys pushing backwards. And then the one on the sideline with Slay was, you could see, when you watch the replay of that, there is a New Orleans coach putting his hand up, basically telling the guy, stop it. And he pushes him all the way into the bench. It was a dangerous play.
Yeah, that's when we got a two-piece right to the throat.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, Lou, one thing. Yeah. You said, I agree with you overall, the defense showing up was the biggest thing to come from yesterday. But I don't think you can just put to the side the turnovers and go, oh, that'll get cleaned up. At what point does that get cleaned up, you know? And I want to talk to Donovan about this because I don't know what the conversation is and how you get it there with Jalen, because there is something that intellectually I'm sure he knows before the game. I'm sure they show him those things before the game, and then the game happens, and he's not making those decisions. So I don't know how you change that, and I'm not quite as sure that that gets cleaned up as you are.
Well, we saw it in 2022, and I feel like, wants to play hero ball sometimes. So you can get that out of him. We've seen it with Josh Allen. Hopefully he doesn't get as many turnovers moving forward. But I will say that the adversity coming into the season, we said, how is this team going to handle adversity? So you had last week, Barkley dropped the pass. The D-line's the worst we've ever seen. Where's Goddard been? Guess what this game? Check, check, check me. So I'm feeling good about the team moving forward. I know Sirianni had a bad game, and he owned it. He owned it. And, again, I think it's being aggressive, knowing that your defense is trash, that's one thing, but the defense was playing well, so he didn't need to go for it as many times as he did. The 60-yard field goal, I don't know what he was thinking. Maybe Elliott said, hey, I got it from 65, and he's just this guy. So I will say, yes, the turnovers need to stop. They're not going to win consistently like that, but I still feel better winning a 15-12 game rather than 34-31, and how is this defense going to hold up moving forward? So that's where I'm at.
All right, Lou. Yeah, I mean, I think both things.
Defense was great yesterday.
Defense was unbelievable.
Awesome.
Yeah, I don't. And
that's what I need, Jalen Carter, every week. See, greatness is when you go out and do that every week, not once in every four games.
Oh, here he is. Here's Nick Sirianni.
Thanks for taking the time today. We're going to start with Elliot, and then we'll go to Jeff. Hey, Nick, last week after the Falcons game, you said you had even more conviction in your fourth down decisions with a chance to review them. I was just curious, you know, 24 hours later, how you view some of those decisions from yesterday and particularly that one at the end of the first half.
Yeah, you know, every time we go for it on fourth down or set ourselves up to go for it on fourth down, I'm doing what I think is best for the football team at that particular time. You know, I'm not going to get into – I know I tried to share with you guys as much as I could last week. You know, I don't think I'm not going to make that a weekly habit of explaining that to you guys. I did that last week. I can say this. Every time I do something like that, I'm doing it because I think it gives us the best chance to win the football game. And knowing very well that when you don't – convert on fourth down, you know, what's going to happen is when you don't convert on fourth down, that's going to be 100% on me, you know, regardless. And that's my role as the head football coach that, you know, when that play doesn't go the right way, you know, there's going to be blame to be had. And that's going to be on me. Obviously, we'll fix whatever we needed to fix. Within our team meetings and within our position meetings and within our offense and defensive meetings to get the things right that we need to do. But, you know, anytime something like that happens, I'm doing that because, again, I'm making the decision that I think is best for the football team. Sometimes that works out. Sometimes it doesn't. Sometimes I come back at the end of it and rethink it every single time. But in the middle of it, and in the middle of the as it's happening, I'm making the best educated decision I can to help the football team win.
We'll go to Jeff and then Brooks.
So if I may follow up on that one before the half, there was 14 seconds remaining.
I did what I thought was probably best for us in that particular case, and hey, it didn't work. And so, like I said, when it doesn't work, there's nowhere else to look but right here, right on me. I told you guys last night, there's nothing to follow up on. I told you guys last night who called the play. That was me. I called it. And it didn't work there in that situation.
Did you think that you would have two opportunities if you did get the first down?
Yeah.
You still thought, because there'd be 10 seconds left.
I still thought we would get two opportunities.
Because you still have to kick the field goal.
I understand that.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Thanks.
Thank you.
We'll go to Brooks and then Chris.
Hey, Nick, you know, since yesterday, is there the league reviews plays every play, but has there been anything from you guys to check in with the league on the hit on Devontae or Darius Slay?
Yeah, I'll never share information that, you know, that I'm going to have with the league. Those, like, just like my conversation, I think I've told you this, any conversation with a player, any conversation with, you know, Mr. Lurie, any conversation with the league, those are private conversations. And you know, I respect your question, and I want to be able to, you know, help you do your job and help the fans understand more. But I got to keep those. There's things that I have to keep, private, and that will be something. And obviously, we'll turn in anything. I guess I can just answer it big picture wise, Brooks. Like, I'll turn in anything that we feel like is a questionable call. And I don't want to get into. I never am going to challenge anyone's integrity. Those guys are out there playing as hard as they possibly can on both sides of the field, and so I'm never going to question that. And I think their guys are, you know, don't want to get too much into the play, but everyone was playing hard on that play. And, you know, I love Smitty, and I'm really sad that happened to him, and that not only you know that he got hurt on that particular play, and you know, hope, you know, just hoping that he's recovering, continuing to recover here. And, you know, but that was a tough play to watch on film.
Go to Chris and then EJ.
Afternoon, Nick. After the injuries to Lane Johnson and Mekhi Becton, how much did the offensive game plan change after that? And when you look at that, do you feel like, I'll just leave with that. How do you feel about how
you think that? You know, offense, you do some different things based off who's in the game. You know, some different schemes here and there. Sometimes it's the same that you run. Sometimes you help on the protection. Sometimes you don't. But, you know, when you lose, you know, when you lose those guys and you lose the right side, that's tough. And those guys, you know, what happened was, you know, Tyler and Fred came in and played outstanding games. As you continued on with the game, you realized, hey, you can just keep rolling with what you got because they're doing such a good job. And so, man, credit to those guys. And we talk about roles a lot. You know, that's a conversation that we have before each season, as you guys know, of what everybody's role is. And, you know, those guys' role was to be ready to go, you know, to be on the field goal unit, but then to be ready to go if their number is called, and they sure were. Because we played a really good defensive front yesterday, a ton of respect for that defense and that football team, and we played a really good defensive front. And those guys came in and really played well. There's some things that were happening. They had some combo blocks together, you know, Tyler and Fred, where they're working in unison on an outside zone play that Saquon had a good run on. Fred had a block down, you know, a down block on a gap scheme play on a third down where he really did a good job of displacing the defensive tackle. They did well in protection. I mean, just can't tell you how happy I am for those guys and to see that. One of the first guys I came in when I was walking up the tunnel, I saw Fred, and it was only Fred and I in the tunnel, and just gave him a big hug. And man, I could see how happy he was just from the way he performed. He's worked hard at that, and that's awesome when something like that happens. And so I was excited for him. I was excited for Tyler. You know, Paris Campbell did some really good things too. That when he had to, when it was called upon, and so that's a team, right? That's when you have all that and everyone playing their role. Everyone's role is not the same, but everyone's role is vitally important. And man, it was fun to see those guys. Obviously, bummed that you lose players that we lost, but fun to see those guys go in there and perform. And that's a credit to the guys they're replacing as well that have helped them get better. I know Lane is such a good teammate that he's always trying to help guys become better football players because he cares about the Philadelphia Eagles. I mean, that's awesome. And that's why I love this football team, is because the people on this team know that we can't be great unless we have the greatness of other people, and our team knows that.
We'll go to EJ and then Ruben.
Hey, Nick, kind of piggybacking right off of that, I wanted to ask you specifically about Fred. You know, he's talked before about, you know, the last couple of years working behind the scenes on the scout team and kind of like the way that his relationship with Jeff Stoutland has developed over that time. I guess what's your vantage point been of the last couple of years that he's been in the building?
Yeah, just him, you know, Fred, first and foremost, Fred having the want to just continue to get better. Fred's obviously very talented and has something that you can't teach, is just massive size and strength and athleticism. And he came here and got a fresh start here, and he's worked his butt off, and Stout pushes him. You know, I told Stout last night when we were coming home on the plane, I'm like, man, no, I enjoy going to your, you know, once a week I've been going to the offensive line meeting room, and I've really enjoyed going to the offensive line meeting room and listening to that, and listening to Stout coach those guys and how those guys react and how those guys respond. And I know he's pushed Fred. I heard him push Fred on Thursday in that meeting room just to get better. Stout's constantly on the guys to get better, and he lets no detail slide. And I love that about Coach Stoutland. Sure glad he's our offensive line coach. And you know, and Fred, and that's a combination. So that's a combination of the, you know, the Stout refusing to let Fred slide in any way, because all he cares about is Fred getting better, and then Fred putting in the time, putting in the work, putting in the, you know, all the things that he does to get better. And so now Fred just got to build upon that. That's a great stepping stone to build upon, and just ride his momentum right there to, you know, just continuing to play better football.
Go to Ruben and then Ed.
Hey, Nick, with the wide receiver injuries, I guess you're facing the possibility you won't have your top three guys Sunday down in Tampa. I was wondering if you could just talk about the guys who you do have, and do you feel like you have enough at that position to go play a game?
Yeah, obviously. We'll see as the week goes on. We'll see who's going to be available. We'll plan for everything. Like I said, from the very beginning, I really have a lot of faith in this room, in that wide receiver room. You know, we have, you know, Johnny. We have Paris. We have Jahan. This is, you know, John's been, I know Jahan hasn't had a ton of catches, but I think he's been playing efficient football. And sometimes it's just a matter of seeing it and then, you know, going out there and planning some more things for him and doing some more things to get the ball in his hands. And then, you know, we got some practice squad guys that are working hard, and we'll see how this all plays out. But I got a lot of faith in the room, and it just doesn't, you know, it can look a lot of different ways, right? So I have a lot of faith in that tight end room, and I have a lot of faith in the running back room as you look at the skill positions. And so a lot of different things you can do. Obviously, really early in game planning, and I probably wouldn't share it with you anyway as far as what we'll do there. We got options, that's for sure, just because we feel good about the work that these guys have put in and the players and the teammates that they are.
We'll go to Ed and then John.
Yeah, hi, Nick. Just to kind of follow up on that receiver question from Rube, Johnny Wilson, you know, he had the big catch, I think, yesterday for 9 or 10 yards, first down catch. He also got caught for holding. But what have you kind of seen from him behind the scenes in his progress here in his rookie year?
Yeah, I just think he's really tough, first and foremost. You know, talent's just the beginning, but it's about how tough you are if you're going to reach your ceiling. And so, obviously, talented and unique. He has unique traits with how big and strong he is. He's able to do some different things that we need, some dirty work things that we need, and then he'll be called upon, you know, if we need to make some plays catching the football. And so, I loved his first catch yesterday of, you know, putting his head down and being, I mean, he's a big dude, and then trying to tackle him was hard for those guys, and he was able to get some yards after catch and get the first down on that. So I just think I've seen toughness. You know, he's continuing to, you know, learn everything there is to learn about playing wide receiver in the NFL. You know, obviously not going to learn that all in one night or one season or two seasons. That takes time. But he's uniquely talented and unique, and he's got toughness, which I'll take tough guys on this football team any day of the week. It's like basketball. Your shot's not always falling. Always falling, right? Sometimes in football, you're not getting opportunities, or it's not coming your way, or it's not going your way. But it's those guys who play with relentless effort and toughness, you know, that can overcome, you know, things not continue, you know, kind of going your way with the ball in your hands.
We'll go to John and then Dave.
Hey Nick, you mentioned the team as a whole having kind of a rough week and getting past that adversity, specifically with Jalen Carter. What do you think clicked from that standpoint?
You know, John, I thought we got off the mat pretty quick. And because I just think that there was this urgency after the loss, and you know, of, hey, no one liked that taste in our mouth, and it was handling the adversity of the initial thing and just how you're going to respond to it. And so, you know, Jalen Carter, he didn't play his best game, obviously, against Atlanta, but he came out and he was completely dominant in the game yesterday. Sometimes I share with you player of the game, sometimes I don't. He was our player of the game yesterday. And so he gets a game ball for yesterday because of his performance. But what changed was, you know, at the end of the day, I said this last week, right? It's about playing defense is about just your relentless effort. Playing defense is about striking blocks and playing, especially that, you know, striking blocks. Playing defense is about shedding blocks. Playing defense is about tackling, and playing defense is all being on the same page. you do those things well, you're going to have an opportunity to play good defense. And so that's what I saw from Jalen Carter. He'd strike. You know, he was violent yesterday with his hands. He was athletic to get off blocks. He beat blocks every way you could possibly imagine. And he played on their side of the line of scrimmage an awful lot. And so, and as a result, he let other people make plays. Not only did he make plays, but he helped other people make plays. There was, you know, multiple plays where I felt like our linebackers were running free because they were hanging on the double team of his block for a little bit longer. And so I loved his response, John, really at the end of the day. Like, again, you can have a negative mindset or you can have a purpose mindset. And the purpose mindset says, hey, what did I screw up the game before? This, this, and this. And how am I going to fix it? Here, this, this, and this. And then going out and executing it. And he did that. And I think that's just a good example for our entire team of there are going to be little losses throughout each game of every game. There's going to be little wins. There's going to be little losses. You can't get held up on either of them. You just got to play the next play and learn from the little losses that you have. And that's what I felt like really happened. I felt like, that's why I said to the team today, I felt like, and I've kind of mentioned all of them here, I felt like we everyone had a role on that in that field yesterday, and everyone, and you know, we had mistakes obviously, but we needed everybody. You know, with the examples of Fred and Tyler and Paris, you know, we handled adversity. So we got better from adversity. The way we handled cut blocks, the way we struck on the line of scrimmage, different things like that. I thought we played tough against a tough football team. You know, and I thought we played together as a team. That was so obvious on the sideline, just how much everybody was there for each other through the ups and downs. Hey, we got you. Hey, no, we got you. Hey, you're going to crack out of this. We got your back. Whatever it was, like, you know, man, and I said that again, those four things to the team about that. It was awesome. And, it was a good team win.
We'll go to Dave and then Zach.
Hey, Nick, how often will you decide to call a play on offense, and what determines when you do?
Yeah, just, you know, I don't say a number, you know, but here and there that's going to happen. And that's regardless of, you know, whether it was 21, 22, 23, or 24, we're all coming up with the game plan together. We're all putting in the work together. We got good minds on the offensive side and defensive side. And so, you know, you talk through things. It's, you know, Kellen's obviously the one calling plays, but everything is collaborative as far as the way we go through our process. And in game, you know, that just because I did it in that one, that doesn't mean there's not a play that Kevin Petullo's not saying in the ear of Kellen, hey, what do you think about this there? And Kellen going, yeah, I like that idea. Or, you know, Jeff Stoutland or Jason Michael on a run play particularly or TJ on a run play saying, hey, they're doing this in this scenario. What do you think about, what about this? Now, and so, like, that happens throughout the game over and over and over again. And, I mean, that's just the way every staff I've ever been on, whether I'm the head coach or whether I'm the offense coordinator or whether I was a quarterback coach or whether I was a receiver coach, that's how that works. And that's how that worked. And I'm assuming that's like that for – you know, teams I haven't been on as well. And so, you know, but I also understand the scrutiny that will happen when something like that happens. I wanted you guys to know yesterday that in that scenario, that with a questionable call there, that I made that decision, right? And so that's why I let you guys in on that, because Kellen didn't need to bear that because I did that. And so that's why I brought you in on that yesterday, not to open the door of, well, how many times you call this or how many times you call that or how many times is this, like, it's collaborative. And in that particular case, I called that one and it didn't work. And when that happens, I will always make sure that you guys know about that.
We'll finish with Zach and then Olivia.
Hey, good afternoon, Nick. Hey, Zach. You said yesterday that the interception was on you. I know you take responsibility for everything, but what specifically about that interception was on you? And then the route concept there, how comparable was it to the touchdown Devontae scored a week ago?
It's Good eye, Zach. It's close. That's a good eye by you. It's close. It's similar. A little bit. There's subtle differences and subtle different things there. In that particular case, like when I say that, like, did I show him enough tape on of you know, we have plenty of plays like that where we really work hard to get in that window. I think in those scenarios, those happen. And did I show him? I always think like that. Like, did I show him enough times of, because that's something I'll do in team meetings. Like, hey, here's a mistake that we made, and here's what it's supposed to look like, right? And you sometimes you show videos of your team. Sometimes you show videos of other teams. And that's always on my mind, Zach. Like, if I didn't feel like I showed him that, then I missed that one step of that I needed to. And I don't think I did enough good enough job like showing that route that we were running there against all the different looks that you can get. Because sometimes that safety can be outside and that angle looks different. Sometimes the safety can be inside and that angle looks different. Sometimes that safety could be in the middle of the field and that angle looks different. And so I'm really hypercritical on myself as far as, did I show them every, and our coaches, did I show them every look they possibly could be in? And I know there's countless amounts of looks, but there are certainties and routes. I'm really convicted on this. Obviously, my history as a wide receiver, I played wide receiver a long time ago, so I'm not saying, but that and my history as a quarterback coach trying to get the receivers right, and as a wide receiver coach of putting them in every one of those scenarios. Because you can only have so many different things, right? Outside, inside, leverage, middle open, middle closed, man, zone, soft zone. And, yeah, that's where I was feeling on that yesterday, Zach, is but I think that's I think that's what everyone's got to go through, those processes of what could I do better to help the team, right? Smitty's out there busting his ass to make every play he can. And so what am I doing as a coach to bust my ass to put him in every spot that I could possibly put him in? So that's what I was referencing yesterday, Zach. Not just a, hey, my fault. It was more, I really thought through that as far as the how we run that route versus different looks.
Thank you.
We'll finish with Olivia.
Hey, Nick. Bryce Huff had 18 snaps yesterday. Most of them were in pass rush scenarios. It seemed like a relatively quiet day for him. What is the biggest hurdle for him to clear right now in order to become the impactful player that the team hoped to have when they had signed him in the offseason?
Yeah, just keep plugging away. Just keep going. Keep working hard every day. Like, I really do believe that the guys, sacks and pressures come in waves. When one guy gets hot, they start rotating the slide the other way or giving help the other way, and then the other guy gets hot. And so it's just time, and I got a lot of faith in Bryce and the things that he can do. Obviously, that's why he's here. And I'm excited for the time where he's gonna have a big time game. And I know he puts the work in. I know he's ultra talented. And I got no doubt in my mind that he's going to continue to get better and have an impact, a good impact on this football team.
Thanks for the time, Coach.
Thanks, everybody.
There it is. A 14-minute answer about the backup tackle.
Hey, man. Fred Thomas had a good game.
Yeah, exactly right.
Fred Thomas or Fred Johnson?
Fred Johnson.
Fred Johnson.
Yeah. You're listening to 94WIP HD1 Philadelphia, broadcasting through the Tasty Cake Studio. Congratulations. And this is the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz. We're at Chickies in South Philly. Brandon Graham Show will be live here at 6 p.m. It'll be on YouTube because we will be airing the Phillies at that time on
Clinch
WIP.
Clinch night, baby.
Clinch night.
Fingers crossed.
Yeah.
There you go. They better.
Got Clinch. A winner in town.
Yep. Clinch, no clenching.
Yeah. And congratulations to Saquon Barkley, who has won the FedEx Air and Ground Offensive Player of the Week.
Yeah.
I mean,
looking real good.
You guys obviously wanted the team to sign Saquon Barkley. I think everybody was excited when they signed Saquon Barkley. We were all optimistic about how good Saquon Barkley would be. Saquon Barkley has surpassed any expectation. If you had an expectation that Saquon Barkley would be this good, I think you would have been crazy. He has surpassed every expectation or hope we could have had for how good he could be here.
Well, thank God they remembered he was on the team yesterday. I mean, they literally went a quarter and damn near a half without giving him the ball.
Well, when they decided to give it to him, it man, sure as hell worked.
Man, look good, didn't it?
The 68 yards, that one run, he was running away from D-backs at the end of the run.
Yeah.
This is a guy, he didn't just come into the league. You know, this is a guy who has been in the NFL for 6 years.
6 years, yeah.
Has been injured a few times and has been used quite a bit so far, and just has, I think the thing that has been illuminating about Saquon Barkley and what has been so exciting is he is just so explosive. Yeah. And when he sees the play, when he sees the big play, he gets it. I can't think of a time so far in these three games where there was a play there aside from the one that he dropped. But that there's been a play there for him to get that he didn't get.
Yeah. I mean,
he's been amazing.
No, he's been everything we hoped he could be. Knock on wood, keep him healthy. Because if we keep him healthy for 17 games, you're looking at arguably the offensive player of the year in the league.
You're looking at arguably the MVP.
Well, they never give it to a running back.
Well, the only thing that – yes, they never give it to a running back.
He rushes for 2,000 yards.
There were some – no, he didn't get it. There were people that brought up Christian McCaffrey's name last year. The only thing that could be different this year, and I know it's a long shot, but the only thing that could be different is that quarterback numbers do not look this year like they've looked for the last decade. You know, I've no idea, but he's certainly been the most valuable player on the Eagles so far. That's no question. So before we get back to the phones, 215-592-9494, do you feel better or worse after yesterday's win about the team moving forward? His answers and we give credit to Elliot. Elliot was first. Elliot asked him about the fourth down decision. I don't know who followed up, but Nick basically interrupted him and gave the answer, I'm going to do what's in the best interest of the team.
I believe that was McClain.
Yeah, that was McClain.
What do you, newspaper reporter,
right?
What do you think about his answers there? Or I guess there's nothing to really think.
He gave, I guess, the best answer he could give. I still don't agree with that decision to go for it there. I just don't understand the upside to doing that other than taking a shot in the end zone where you could still turn the ball over.
Right. Yes.
I mean, you want more opportunities to throw again in the red zone? No, take the three.
Yeah, from being that far away, that's the only thing that is crazy to me is that they ran that play from 14 yards away.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then they know that you have to run the play with the ball in the end zone. Like, they know you're trying to get in the end zone, so they're going to be standing back there waiting.
Waiting for you.
Yeah. And the field goal. I mean, he kicked the 60-yard field goal. It's third and long. Why not run the ball on third down, pick up more yards,
and give Jake Elliott
a better chance of making that field goal?
Yeah, I don't have any problem with him going for a 60-yard field goal indoors with Jake Elliott. Mm-hmm. It wasn't that he was – it
had the distance.
It did.
It had the distance.
It's sort of like the decision, the way that people tied the throw to Saquon last week to not going for it on fourth down, is that if they were going to go for it on fourth down, they should have run it on third down. So if you were going to kick the field goal, if you really thought you were going to kick the field goal from that far away, then you want to get yourself 7 yards there, 5 yards, whatever you can get to make it a little bit closer.
And the Saints would have gave it to you.
Yes, they would have.
They're playing for you to go for the first down.
Yep.
You run a draw or a screen there, you pick up 5, 6, 7 yards, no problem.
We have Donovan McNabb joining us at 4 o'clock to talk about all these things. 215-592-9494. Chris in Philly, you're on WIP.
Hello?
What's up, Chris?
Hey, what's up, Mike? What's up, Joe?
What's up, Chris?
I wanted to kind of just basically highlight what everybody else was saying. So basically what I saw, first of all, shout out to Jalen Carter, because people were saying that some reason he was automatically a bust now when he already proved himself the first like half of last year. But
well, besides, you don't,
hey,
Chris,
don't
Chris,
know
Chris,
it.
Chris,
bye.
Chris. No one was calling him a bust, and the questions on Jalen Carter are not the questions like Nolan Smith. The questions on Jalen Carter is, can he do it every game? Because I think generally the questions about Jalen Carter are effort related, preparation related, are all in the head, not in the body. Everyone thinks, because what we want Jalen Carter to be is the next Fletcher Cox.
Damn,
we want him wrecking those plays, and if he can do that, it'll help the guys on the edge, it'll help their run defense. So I don't think there is, especially considering how he played in the second half of the Green Bay game, how he played in the Atlanta game as a whole, the fact that he had to get benched for the first two series because he was late for something, and he didn't show up in the second half of last year. I don't think there's anything wrong with not questioning whether Jalen Carter is an NFL player, but questioning whether Jalen Carter is the centerpiece of a defensive line for the next decade. You think that's an unfair question to have?
It was weird, only because I felt like the whole defense phased out at the same time, so I couldn't really call it. You know what I mean?
That I think that's fair, but I also think it's fair to say that the questions about Jalen Carter were those things, were that he's not going to be there every single play. So yeah, if Jalen Carter's game yesterday was awesome, but he's not going to have the best game he's ever had every game, but he can't be invisible, and he was pretty close to invisible against Atlanta. But anyway, going to Sirianni.
Yeah, right. Back to the point. My bad.
Basically,
what I noticed from yesterday was I kind of felt like what most people feel, like we're winning these games in spite of Nick Sirianni. So only thing I'm really concerned of is, do you really feel like he's holding the team back to a point where eventually it'll catch up to us? Because from what I saw yesterday, I was like, yo, like, not too many times are we going to win games like this with him constantly making the same decisions. Because he even sounded in the interview or the post-conference, well, the conference that he just had, he sounded as if, like, he basically was just, like, not wanting to talk about it. Like, he was trying to beat around it. That's why I was glad somebody actually brought it up to him. Because it's like, what are you thinking in them situations? It's like, do you think with your ego?
Yeah, I mean, only he knows that. What's the motivation behind that? Now, he's talking about he's giving his team, or those decisions are made because he's trying to give his team the best chance to win. I think there's a fine line between being aggressive and being foolish
right
out there. And when you're on the road in a hostile environment where you're already struggling to score points, and it's only a three-point game, to me, that was an unnecessary risk there. It was unnecessary.
Well, I just think the upside was very low.
Yeah.
Too. It was a risk that didn't have a ton of upside, because if Saquon doesn't score on that, the worst case scenario really is that Saquon stays in bounds and runs for 6 seconds. In that case, you might not even get a shot in the end zone.
Right. Like, you know, he had two plays. I was like, two plays?
Two plays.
What are we talking about?
Yeah, because if that play goes the way that you think it's going to go, what do you have, 8 seconds left? Nine seconds?
Like 7, 8 seconds. I'm like, that's
not
more
two plays.
So one play.
No, yeah. Especially not from the 14, 13-yard line. You got to run
Hell
to the end
no.
zone. That's going to take time.
Now, there was another coach here who we had questions about situational things at the end of halves, use of timeouts. Mm-hmm. I'm not comparing Nick Sirianni to Andy Reid. The only thing I'll say is that you can't – I don't think the only thing he's – or I have no idea. If he is the culture setter, then the only thing he's responsible for yesterday is not just – the fourth down calls. Then I do think on some level you have to give him credit for the resolve, for the fact that the players seem like they played together, that they didn't give up, that all of those things. We put that on him too, because I think largely we blame him in a big way for the collapse last year, which was mostly a cultural collapse. It wasn't the results were on the field, but I don't think that was mostly strategic questions we had about Nick in the second half of last year. It was about the fact that the team gave up, and the team didn't give up this time. So I agree with you that he can't make those mistakes, but I do think it's probably an error to say that the only thing that he's responsible for yesterday are the fourth down calls.
What's crazy is you just made me think of what Ike said a little earlier about how like he got the team prepared for the next week. I almost wanted to agree, but didn't Jalen speak to the team after the loss last week, and he kind of like sat back?
Yeah, but that was after the game. What about the rest of the week?
Like practice in preparation during the week?
Yeah.
I'll meet you halfway.
Hi, Chris. Thank you for the call. So coming up at 4, Donovan McNabb joins us to break down the game, break down Jalen's play, break down Nick talked about it. We haven't even talked about the offensive line and the fact that they lost their right side of the offensive line. It doesn't seem like they missed a beat, which is another point for Stoutland U, by the way.
How about that?
And coming up next, I want to ask Ike just about the defense in general and how real what we saw was, because that was – I don't think any of us thought – I didn't think they were capable of a game like that. So we will talk about that next. Your calls as well, 215-592-9494. This is the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz. We're at Chickie's in South Philly. You can join – Chickie's in South Philly at the Philadelphia Airport at Terminal E before heading to Tampa next Friday. If you're going to the away game, I'm sure there's a lot of people going to that one at for a tailgate at the gate party starting at 8 a.m. That is this Friday. Coming up this Friday. This is the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz.